The Cat Attack Podcast. Kerr's Hire, quality equipment for hire and sales.
This is the Kerr's Hire Cat Attack Podcast, a rare Monday afternoon recording, less than 24 hours since the Cats were rolled by the Blues by 18 points. And it's a rare, we're doing a few things first in the Cat Attack Podcast, King, aren't we? Thanks to Kerr's Hire this year. We've done a couple
of live ones.
We've done a couple butt naked.
No, we have not.
No, we haven't done that one yet, but we're looking forward to that one, and now we're doing one on a Monday afternoon.
Oh, look, so, speak for yourself about looking forward to doing one in the nude.
There's nothing wrong with some good old-fashioned nudity. It's an underrated part of society, I reckon. There's not enough of it. Right. I mean, look at Woodstock. Some of the greatest events in history, Sunbury. There was not a lot of clothes going on.
No, there wasn't.
There wasn't.
There were different times though, Ben.
I know. We need to get back to those times if we can and in a hurry. But I'm pretty good.
Yeah, tell everybody why we're recording on a Monday.
Because I've got to go to the Warrnambools for the next 3 days and do stuff.
Will you be okay?
Including refreshing.
Do you think you'll be right for Saturday night?
Yeah, no, I'll be fine. I won't let down as such, Kingy.
Right.
I've got to work. Right. So I've got to mix a bit of business and pleasure. So it's a fine balance, but I won't be sort of...
You're not good at fine balances.
No, and you know what? I wasn't good on Friday night because I think I may have sustained we call a piss injury.
Did you enjoy Anzac Day?
Absolutely. Well, I only had a couple of Ray Brights at the foosball, but post the foosball, I managed to really...
A couple of Ray Brights?
Yeah. Yeah, just a couple of sort of
lighter ones. Oh, light. Right. Sorry. I was wondering where you were going.
Yeah, so I didn't go bananas at the footy, but post the footy I did, and then I...
So Friday night turned into Saturday morning very quickly?
Yeah, and I came home with a severe big toe injury.
What did you do?
Well, not sure. Right. So I was at an establishment and I've had to contact the man who owns it to ask if there's any CCTV footage of what happened to me because I actually have no idea, but I think I may have broken my big toe. But
Ben, you're 53 years old.
Oh, I know. And
are you going to grow up at any stage?
Possibly not. And I don't want to grow up too because I find the world a pretty sad old place to live in unless you're having a little bit of fun. But the Cats weren't having fun yesterday, can you? Were they?
No.
Did Chris Hoskey was as bad as they've been all year?
Yeah.
I'd argue the first half against St Kilda was pretty ordinary.
Yep.
But that was, in terms of it being four quarters where they just were off, I'd say that was probably correct. Just the skills were down.
Yep.
They're not normally like that.
Execution.
Yeah, just there was probably, you know, even in the second half, I probably could think of five or six times where you're thinking that they... You know, all they need to do was make the handball and they were potentially out.
Mm.
And they missed by, you know, half a metre or just over someone's head or just outside of the reach of the hand. Or and you only need, you know, two or three of those six or seven attempts. And, you know, two of them could have resulted in goals, which, you know, I know they lost by three goals, but it swings the momentum of the game. And Geelong, I mean, to their credit, they battled hard and they got, what did they get it back to?
10.
10 points, yeah. So they... I mean, they never beaten the Cats, but they were off all day, it was just hopefully it's one of those games. But you the season is so brutal, you can't afford to have too many of those games. They've had one against St Kilda, they've had another one yesterday against Carlton. They got Collingwood this week. I mean, they dropped to 4-4. I mean, the world's not going to fall in if they're 4-4. But
Month of May is massive for the Cats,
and then they got GWS, haven't they? At home.
And then Port Adelaide in Adelaide.
Yeah, I think Port Adelaide are very gettable. I don't particularly think they're much chopped.
But they just have to get a little bit of momentum in front of their own crowd.
Yeah, I get that. But I definitely think that's a winnable game if you play well.
And then the Dogs here.
Yeah, well, that's a big one because they've got...
What do you want to get out? Do you want to get out of the month 2-2?
2-2, that would have them, 6-5?
Yep. Ahead of the draw opening up a little bit. Brisbane's in there, but still Richmond.
That's at home though, isn't it?
Yep, and then still Richmond twice.
Yep. North.
West Coast.
Essendon.
West Coast twice. The West Coast come over here later.
Yeah, they do. Is that Richmond in the last round?
And then Geelong go to Sydney, and Sydney by round 23 are probably absolutely shot to, well, I think yeah, they're shot already.
Yeah. They'll be playing.
So if Geelong can
Mark
get
Bays,
Geelong
well,
can,
then.
Geelong kick. He was a beautiful player.
He was a beautiful kick.
Yeah. If they can get to the turn 6 and 5.
They're in the mix.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. 7 and 4 would be even better.
7 and 4 would give them a real leg up to be pushing on towards top four. 6 and 5, they're still right in the mix. But the thing is, how are you getting to 6 and 5? Like, they've been, and this is the theme with, and it's going to be the theme with most teams, let's be honest. I mean, you know, the only teams, I mean, I thought GWS were the team to beat. I mean, they were diabolical in the second half
Saturday
against
night.
Western Bulldogs.
Yep.
They were putrid. Hawthorne, they've probably been, I reckon, probably been the most even team possibly. Gold Coast have had a good draw. So it's, and the outside of that, Collingwood, obviously, bar round one, when they had their pants pulled down by GWS, well, they lost by about 10 goals.
And they've won 6 straight.
Yeah, they've been really good. So I'd say Collingwood, Hawthorne, Gold Coast, albeit the caveat of the draw that they've had has been pretty friendly. They've been the most consistent teams across the first 7 weeks. You wouldn't put Geelong in that category. Geelong's best has been good. Their worst has been pretty diabolical. And in between, they just continue to scrap hard. But it's the same theme every year, really, King, isn't it, with the Cats?
They're never out of a game, are they?
No, they never get walloped.
No.
Well, very rarely. I mean, there's the odd game where they do, but generally they've... I mean,
it's rare that you get to the last 10 minutes of a Geelong game and they're not still some sniff of stealing
it. Yeah, exactly. And
but that's why they've been... That's why they're so good to follow. Because
they give you something.
Yeah, correct.
They're toilers. They toil.
Yep.
And they stick at it even when the chips are down and some sides would just fall right away. They hang in there.
Yeah, and it's the players that you don't expect, you know, they're not your match winners that keep them in the contest. So yesterday it was Connor O'Sullivan and Lawson Humphreys in the first half.
Yeah, they were fantastic.
Those two didn't play.
I reckon they would have been 6 goals down at half time.
Yep. And then Tom Atkins just kept bashing away in the midfield, just trying. And then
Manor was good. Manor was really good. A couple of things. You mentioned there O'Sullivan and Humphreys. That was a big tick to have two young players who have played, 25 games between them?
And considering the week before, O'Sullivan, you know, he could have walked away with his confidence dented after last week. You know, a couple of contests he was in, got beaten point blank by Gunston.
Well, he also Fogarty the week before.
Yeah, correct.
Against Adelaide.
Adelaide, correct. Yeah. But yesterday he was willing to come off his opponent.
He was fantastic.
And then Humphreys although Humphreys a couple of, this is being really nitpicky, probably a couple of targets he would normally hit.
Yeah, he missed.
He missed?
Oh, no, you're not
it was
gonna,
the theme of the team.
You're never going to kick that out of him, though. He wants to be a playmaker and he's got the skills to do it. I mean, you're going to miss the odd kick. I'm happy for him to get 8 out of 10 and create goals going the other way by doing that. But I thought Manor was good. You're right. O'Sullivan just continues to grow in confidence. Humphreys was good.
Smith was good again.
Smith toiled hard. Yeah. I was talking, to Zach too, I reckon. Was it on the way home or was it, actually might have been on air last night. But the thing I'd love to see, and I don't know if Geelong are going to be in a position to do it. I'd love to see Zach Bailey. I'd love to see Bailey Smith be the player that gets it a bit more on the outside.
Yep.
He has to go and get it.
Which we thought he was coming to be an outside player.
Well, he's having to go and get the ball, which he's doing really well. But you want him with a bit of run and a little bit of polish and a little bit of run 10, kick it 40, run 10, kick it 50, break the play up. But he doesn't have the players on the inside to go and get the ball. If I was being super critical, I'm not sure about selection. Like, I don't know, why was Ted Closey not playing as a midfield-type player?
Yeah, not sure.
I found that a bit ordinary, a bit odd. I mean, look, it was great to see a young player debut yesterday. Was he ready? Did he look ready? No. Did he come in off 5 possessions the week before?
Yeah, 5 possessions and 2 goals. But his body of work.
Yeah, I know. But if you're playing in a VFL game, I know, and you're supposedly pushing up to play senior football, and you can only touch the ball 5 times.
So I'll take you back. Grind Myers, first year in the VFL.
Yeah, but he played the whole year, though.
Played the whole year in the VFL.
Different sort of player, though.
But and never looked like it. And they played him round one of a season.
Yeah. Different player, though. Got a skill set that very few can match.
But he didn't then.
No, he's always been a good runner.
Yeah,
he's been an elite runner.
But Wiltshire's an elite runner too.
Yeah, I just thought they erred. I would much rather have had Closey in there who could go forward and then come into the midfield as well.
They would have been better, and people arc about starting debutants as subs. They would have been better off dropping Ollie Henry, playing Closey, and having Wiltshire as a sub.
Yeah, I think
and maybe right. Wiltshire coming into the... And look, hindsight is 20/20, and we can make these comments now based on what we've seen rather than trying to forecast. But he might have actually been better when the pace had gone out of the game. Because it was a couple of times where, and I did make a comment, it might have been a bit harsh in the commentary, but I did say, this is not Barn Heads on a Sunday afternoon.
Yeah. He did look out of his depth. Look, it'll be a great experience for him. Hopefully he comes on from it. You'd think he'd be out of the team this week.
Yeah, I would. If Myers is right to go.
Yeah.
But where's Ollie Henry?
He's probably got to go out.
And there's no VFL for him to go back to this week.
Well, he's just going to have to go and wait till the following week. He's going to have to probably have 2 weeks out. Yeah. I just don't think there's a spot for him now.
Dangerfield's actually fried him in a way. In a good way.
I mean, Dangerfield was good. He was pretty good again yesterday. He didn't quite have the same impact he'd had the previous 2 weeks, but he's not going to do that every week. He still made a few things happen.
See, I reckon
they had to put him into the midfield more yesterday because the midfield was getting its pants pulled down. And that was the other thing I was going to say, King. We're a player and a half short in the midfield.
Yep.
Unfortunately.
Although, do you want the clearance numbers?
I know, but what about effective clearances?
Yeah. So clearances were 40-34. Carlton won that. Geelong won the centre clearances 11-10.
Yeah.
And I reckon you'll find if Geelong from those 11 centre clearances scored regularly.
Oh, I reckon the scores from memory were about similar from clearances for both teams. It wasn't a marked difference.
No, but still, Geelong were competitive in that
regard.
Yeah,
they were.
Stoppage clearances, they were minus seven.
But what? That's fine. Just the clearances alone, that's okay. I just think that, and Zach too, we spoke about it yesterday, was that Geelong got beaten, particularly in the first half, by losing it on the inside and then not having the ability to cover on the outside or getting sucked into the ball.
And then getting beaten out the back.
And
basically.
Then the ball handball out to Walsh or the handball out to Hewitt or the handball out to
Chera.
And then they were getting fried because they don't have enough players who can go and get the ball and farm it out.
The other thing is too, Geelong made 6 more turnovers, but Geelong's turnovers were more
brutal.
Yep.
They got caught a few times with a few absolute howlers, which look, it was, and you have to say it was uncharacteristic. It's not a theme. It's not you're thinking every week, God, they're missing targets. They just had a bad day yesterday. But I think it against good when you've got a good midfield and a good ruckman, I think Geelong get exposed.
Yep. And that's what Carlton had yesterday.
They've got a gun ruckman. And Stanley, to his credit, battled hard, was well beaten on the day, but he kept battling. He wasn't horrendous.
No.
He kept battling. But De Koning is elite.
Yeah.
He's elite. He fried Stanley, let's be honest. But and I'm not having a go at Stanley. That's just where footy's at. That's where DeConing's at.
You've got 25-year-old Tom De Koning against 34-year-old Reece Stanley.
And Stanley kept, as I said, he kept working, which is all you can ask. But you've got, you had... Walsh had it 20 times, I think, in the first half.
Yes.
Hewitt had it near 30 times. Cripps had it near 30 times. Chera had it mid-20s. De Koning had it about 20 times as a ruckman. Geelong just don't have the ability to generate those sorts of numbers. And Holmes was quiet in the first half, relatively quiet. Yep. Played pretty well in the second half. They don't have a number of ways. If Holmes and Smith aren't really killing it, Geelong's midfield can be exposed against good midfields.
Yep.
Then it's put Dangerfield in. And then you struggle up forward because Dangerfield's not up forward.
Yep.
And Shannon Neal, he had a quiet one yesterday. So I heard a lot of people say he needs to go out of the team.
No, he's not going out of the team.
Well, there are people, I don't know.
We jump at shadows sometimes.
Yeah, he did have a howler yesterday. I think he had two possessions.
But he was very good 6 days before in terms of he took some key marks. Like, there's no way, there is nobody else they can kick to bail him out on the wing. He has to be that option.
Yeah, and he's got to be more competitive with that. He can't afford to be outmarked. He's got to find a way. He's agile. He's athletic, but he's got to find a way to use that. He just can't get clean outmarked, which happened a couple of times. And look, he had a poor game yesterday. I'm sure he'd be probably the first to admit that. But Geelong, if you take Neil out, who are you playing up forward? So you have Dangerfield and Cameron.
Yeah.
Because Ollie Henry's not going to be involved.
Correct. And then you've just got your small forwards around them.
And we saw that last year in one game against Bulldogs when Neil didn't play. Mm. Geelong got absolutely pizzled.
Yep.
They just kicked it long to Cameron, who's not a kick it long forward.
No.
He's a leading marking type forward who could float in from the side of a pack and maybe take a contested mark, but he's not a kick it to the top of the goal square player who's going to take a mark. He's a Buddy Franklin type. He's a giant half forward flanker.
Yeah.
They missed Myers yesterday.
Yeah, they did.
It was glaring.
And just that, his ability to hit the target.
Do you reckon he's back this week?
He's eligible to be back, but whether he's or not, I don't know. The Cats will put their health update out tomorrow, and I suspect they'll tell us whether he's playing or not.
It's amazing, isn't it? You just can't replace a bloke who has that sort of running power.
No. Or that nous as well, and craft. Like he's creative.
Very creative, and Geelong really missed that yesterday. And how often have we seen it this year? I reckon if you looked at it, and I'm only thinking off the top of my head here, but if you looked at when Grime Myers plays well, how Geelong go, as opposed to when Grime Myers isn't playing well.
Yeah.
And I reckon he was really quiet in the first half against St Kilda. And I reckon he was pretty quiet in the first half against Adelaide.
Yep.
I'm only guessing here, but
he definitely was against St Kilda.
That's just my thought, that he's almost your barometer. For your team, the way he plays and his creativity. And he's kicking inside forward 50. Yep. Do you know what? The other thing that frustrates me, Kingy.
What frustrates you, man?
So I'm not prepared to call it. I'm not sure O'Sheen Mullin's up to it. He just doesn't provide you with anything. He doesn't have very good skill. He missed a couple of kicks yesterday that were just what you would classify as unforced errors. I'm not saying that was the difference between winning or losing, but I'm just not sure what he provides you with. I don't know. At the moment, it's nothing. Mark O'Connor played okay yesterday, but for the life of me, do not call for the ball and kick it inside forward 50.
No.
Oh, my God. He's dismal at it.
Yeah.
He's horrendous.
Yeah.
He turns it over all the time or just misses targets outright. But he actually played all right. He won the ball well. He defensively did some good things. So he actually played all right. But he's not the bloke you want kicking it inside forward 50.
Would you like some questions, Benny?
I love questions.
Of the KFCX, Rexy, massive breakdown at half forward. Cats don't have many who can deliver the ball well into the forward line. A lot of goals came from scrappy play.
Mm-hmm.
Not too many from clean, leading, hitting up marks. Two disposals in 37 minutes still ain't great from Henry, even if he was the sub.
Yeah, well, you can't disagree. I just the thing about that is that I'd love to see, we don't see it too often, but I'd love to see Neil get the ball on the lead.
Yep.
And you have to watch the games as to how he's doing that. But Cameron's not really a lead-up-at-you sort of player.
No.
He'll do it if there's a kick into the pocket, if the ball's on the wing, and he'll lead into the pocket and sort of low down, take a mark. He does lead that way. But ball bursting out of the middle, Cameron on the lead, it doesn't happen very often. Same with Neil. Now, Neil's got to learn how to do that. He's got to attract the ball. That's reading the game, seeing what's going to happen a second before it happens and getting on your bike.
But I reckon that's got to do with Geelong's ball use out of the middle. There is not really an elite kick in that Geelong midfield. Holmes isn't an elite kick.
No, he's not an elite short kick.
No. Bailey Smith isn't.
I wouldn't say he was elite, but I'd say Bailey Smith is better than Holmes.
Yeah. Atkins isn't.
No, Atkins isn't.
Dangerfield isn't.
No.
Dangerfield coming out trying to hit Cameron yesterday.
Mitch Nevitt's not.
Left it short. So Geelong,
close, he's not.
Geelong don't have somebody who is able to absolutely control the ball to where it needs to be. The best player on the Geelong list at actually doing that is Mitch Duncan.
Yeah, but he's not playing.
Correct.
He's not playing the midfield.
No. But running off half back, when he gets the ball forward of middle, he will invariably hit somebody inside forward 50.
And the player, there's a player who did some laps after the game was an emergency, George Stevens. He's not that player either, is he?
No, he's a good kick.
Oh, is he a good kick?
He's a good kick of the footy, yes.
As an elite skill?
That's one of his best attributes.
Well, let's get him in.
The problem is he's not quick.
Right.
He's just a better kick than Tom Atkins.
Okay.
He's not.
But not as tough.
Well, Tom Atkins has actually shown some good turn of foot at times this year.
Yeah, he seems to have increased his speed to a degree. I agree with that. I saw that a couple of times yesterday, actually, where he was hunting players. Did he have 14 tackles again yesterday?
Definitely in Adelaide, where it stood out that he seemed to be a bit quicker. Tackle-wise, I think, 14, yep.
Yeah, I think he was...
So that takes him to 76. He's averaging just on 11.
If you get 200 to 220 tackles for the year.
But it's not beyond the realms of possibility. That would have to be a record.
Imagine that.
Yeah.
From a midfield, I suppose a midfielder has more chance than anyone else, but that's just a want to do that.
You'll have the smart asses argue saying, well, he's just chasing tail.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's just, that's the low-hanging fruit of the analysis.
Yeah.
Perhaps there's a slight element of truth to that. You're second to the ball, but there's no way knowing you're averaging, what's that about, how many tackles? How many did you say it was?
11.
So there's no way knowing you're averaging 11 tackles a game, because I've seen him, and I've seen him not only pressure players as well. He may not get the tackle, but pressure players into things. He's been fantastic, but my midfield it's short. It's short. Like, we need another player and a half. Unfortunately.
Is Clayton Oliver?
No. We don't need another. He can't kick it either. He can't kick it over a jam tin.
Zach Butters?
Tom Atkins is like Morris Rioli compared to Clayton Oliver.
Zach Butters?
Yeah, Zach Butters would be handy.
Yep.
Very handy.
Harley Reid would be handy. Yep.
Matt Rowell would be handy.
Yeah, well, Matt Rowell. I don't think Matt Rowell.
No, I don't.
And we had this conversation last week.
No, he's not coming. No. Zach Butters would be very handy. Yeah. Yeah. We need a left footer, King.
Yes.
We need a classy left footer.
Well, we've got one. It's called Lawson Humphreys.
Well, yeah, but he plays off half-back. Do you think Closey comes back this week? I think he has to.
After his performance in the VFL, yeah, he's had 24. So, Ollie
Henry out.
Yep. Maybe Wiltshire out.
Mullen out. They won't do all these, but I honestly, look, I'm not against Mullen. I'm just not sure where he plays, where he fits in. And if you're moving Ollie Henry on, then not moving him on as in from the club, but if you're moving him on for this week and putting him back into the twos, which don't play, I think you need to consider doing the same with Mullen.
Yep. Clinton Mitchell, I guess.
Would you rather have Mitch Duncan playing the role that Mullen is playing sort of down back, or Mullen?
For use of the footy, Duncan. For defensive capability, Mullen.
Yeah. That's where you rob Peter to pay Paul. Yep. If Duncan gets the wrong matchup, he gets fried.
Yeah, and he's a defender, so what's your one would got to be? Defending.
Yeah.
And Mitch Duncan's isn't.
This is my point. So where would you play him if you're playing him? He's not going to play in the midfield. He's not going to play in the wing. He's not going to play up forward.
They'll get him the games.
Do you reckon?
Yep.
Do you think they can afford to do that? At 4-3, they can afford to play a player who's seven rounds into the year.
They're not doing it now.
But when are they going to do it?
Probably the Richmond games, North Melbourne, West Coast.
So they're going to wait till like round 22 or something to get him those four games.
Yep.
Do you think then that there should have been another player on the list who could have developed all year?
To go with the argument you made last year with Zach Tui being on the list, probably.
Yeah. I honestly don't see that.
But the other thing is too is we don't see what he's doing inside the club because he has a good nous for the game.
Yep.
He'll probably end up in some sort of coaching post career.
Yep.
So maybe there's a little bit of
I don't disagree that maybe he's tutoring young players and helping young players. We can only hope that's happening.
Yeah.
That has to be. Happening.
I reckon it would be.
That has to be happening because he's not. They're 7 weeks into the year and he doesn't really look like getting a sniff. No. I wouldn't be surprised if they play him this week. Yep. To be honest with you,
it's like getting a what?
A sniff.
Oh, I thought you said something else.
Oh, what? Over the tea? We don't know about that guy.
Clinton Mitchell.
He's got a few kids, hasn't he?
So I get Henry's out of form, but surely he would have been a bit better option than Wiltshire. Kingy, is there any info on Jack Henry? As Scott said, he has a foot issue. I haven't seen Chris's post-match media conference. He's out with a hamstring. So if there's
Will this be week number four?
Yep.
So he's no chance this week?
He was listed as 1-3.
Right, so he's probably out this week. They give him at least the four, if it's four. Is he back training?
I haven't seen training.
Right.
I watched training on Saturday, but that was a captain's run with those who were in the...
So if you haven't heard, like I asked you before, you haven't heard any whispers about whether Myers is likely or unlikely?
No.
Well, it'd be nice to get him back.
Yeah.
Sometimes off those concussions, you wouldn't expect a whole lot. It can be a bit... How you going?
Him at Leroy. Shannon Neal is giving absolutely nothing as a deep forward mobile ruck. Very raw and young, but he's really only shown glimpses. Not much to replace him with, but surely he's due for a spell. They're not spelling him.
No, they're not spelling him. He's a target to kick it to. He's got to create a contest, which he's doing sporadically. Not enough. But you just can't drop him. I'm prepared to run the white flag up the pole with Ollie Henry and say that his time, he needs to have a rest. He needs to find some form, and I reckon he'll come back and be better for it down the track. But you cannot drop Neil, Henry, and then if your midfield against Collingwood's going pear-shaped, you've got to put Dangerfield in the midfield, and then the only forward you got is Cameron.
Yep.
No, that won't happen.
Paul Marinelli, after playing the last 77-odd games straight, I didn't realise how much we would miss Myers. I'm a huge fan already against the Blues. Please tell us the news that he's back to take on the Pies tomorrow when the Cats put out their
injury update. It was glaring. And I think it was also exacerbated. Do you like that word, Tom? Exacerbated.
Put that on a triple word score.
Oh, you'd win for sure. It'd be a walk-off Scrabble moment. It was exacerbated by the fact Geelong's skills as a team were off.
Mm.
So you're thinking, God, where's Myers with the creativity and the skill and the sort of what's the word, Kingy? He's very unpredictable.
Yep.
To the opposition.
Bit of
flair. His teammates sort of seem to know that if they get into a stupid spot, he's half a chance to kick it to them, whereas the opposition don't. So yeah, it was made to look worse, the Myers situation, by the Cats, you know, just sort of below par skill across the board yesterday.
Damien Tedesco.
Mr. Tedesco.
Boys, what is it with the Melbourne media with Geelong? When we win, nothing said. When we lose, all hell breaks loose. Boys, will Henry and Myers be right for next week? Do we give Stewart a rest? We haven't touched on Tom Stewart.
Yeah, that was... I'd be... Look, Kingy, we spoke about this on air, and I think we were spoken about it maybe last week, did we? I mean... He's got a medial problem, okay? It's clearly hampering him. Like he, I don't know if they showed it on the vision of the game vision yesterday, but when he came off the ground with about, there was probably only 2 minutes, 90 seconds to go in the game, he could hardly move. He was in a lot of pain and, you know, to the point where you're thinking, God, there's no way known he could possibly play next week.
Mm.
Now, what I'd love to know, Kingy, Do some diving or some digging, Kingy.
Mm-hmm.
If they were to give him 3 or 4 weeks off, does he return in 3 or 4 weeks as 100% or close to it? Or is he going to have to play with this for the remainder of this season? Because if he does, he's obviously a shadow of what he's capable of. He's not really giving you anything. And he's second-guessing. I saw him yesterday... You know, he got caught a few times just in no man's land. Now, whether that's because he doesn't quite have the movement, and there was another passage of play where you could visibly see him pulling up on his knee. He wasn't sure about landing on his knee. It's impacting his whole game. Now, if we were to drop Tom Stewart out and go 1-3, wouldn't be ideal. But if you got Tom Stewart back as Tom Stewart...
Yep.
And hitting the ground running for the second half of the year and leading into finals, I've got my hand up for that. Because the way he's playing now, I wouldn't say he was a liability. That'd be too harsh. But he's offering you really nothing.
Yep.
He can't play. We heard Zach Tuohy say that perhaps the injury means that now he can't play that role that he would like to play as the loose. And he's not really flying for his marks. He's not generating anything off halfback. And through no fault of his own, it's clearly because he's seriously hampered. So I'd love to know the answer to that question about him having a bit of a spell and then getting it right.
Yep, we'll have a chat. Chris Scott will face the media on Friday.
He won't tell you that.
We'll ask the question.
We'll ask.
Yep.
Say, has it reached the point where will any time off do him any good, or does he just have to work through it?
Because
if working through it means that it's getting, it seems to me, like yesterday was as bad as I've seen him in that last 90 seconds of the game. He looked like in all sorts of trouble.
Correct.
So I haven't seen that. I've seen him look proppy, but not, I mean, did we see any, I didn't see the replay of what happened to him early.
No. He just seemed to...
Did he jar it or did someone knock him or...
It just seemed to land awkwardly.
But I think that's the injury.
Yeah.
It's grabbed him. He's landed awkwardly and it's grabbed him however he doesn't want it to grab.
And no amount of strapping is not going to stop it.
No, you can strap it all you like. You could strap it up to the billio. Yes. You ever been strapped up to the billio?
Fox Dog 50, Benny.
Yeah, Fox Dog, yeah.
G'day, gents. Wonder why you're recording tomorrow, as in today. Maybe Benny Cass going to Warrnambool to enjoy a punt and a few refreshments.
Yes.
And a bit of work. First of all, really enjoying K-Rock Live. Haven't watched one game without syncing it to my TV watching the Cats. So
good work.
Great feedback, KRockFootball.live. Shannon Neal, I like him, I do, but he has to start showing a bit more.
Yep.
Fifth year in the system, still young and only playing 26 games, but needs to start taking those marks and kicking goals.
Yep.
Starting to get a little bit concerned about him. I'm sitting on the fence at what he can do.
Yeah, I probably can't disagree with any of that, to be honest with you. A couple of people have said that to me, Kingy, that he just going to be one of those sort of gonna-be players, you know, like it looks good and it feels good and it actually isn't that good. He gets his hands to quite a few balls, which he's not clunky. He needs to start marking a few of those. And, you know, you'll take the odd one and you think, oh, here we go, and then you don't see it again. But, I can't disagree with any of that. And I do think that what will allow him at least some time so you can have a definitive decision on him is that there's absolutely nothing else in the twos to come in.
No, Polkinghorne's not ready.
But he's not a key forward anyway.
No.
He's like a 190.
Yeah.
He's like Ollie Henry sort of dimensions.
Tom Stewart gets a mention here from Foxdog 50. Just says, Stevie Wonder can tell Tom Stewart's playing with an injury.
Yeah. It seems to be getting worse, if anything.
The Ranger. Good morning, gents. Another good call. Thank you. Can I selfishly ask K-Rock does every AFL game? I don't know how we'd do it, but it'd be a lot of fun.
That'd be fantastic.
The commentary this year has me searching for the mute button quicker than a politician changes their mind. From the comfort of my recliner, Sunday seemed not to only be a one-off lapse in skills, but we all seemed to be slower around the field, almost like they were tired. We were Carlton fresh off a 9-day break and two comfortable wins and ready to go.
Well,
the 6 and 9 day breaks certainly come into it. But Geelong choose to play on Easter Monday every year, so they're going to have a 6-day break.
They were the beneficiary going into the Hawthorn game.
Yep.
They were also the beneficiary when they played Adelaide.
Yep.
Who'd come off a 5-day break. So you've got to give and take. Does the break make a huge difference? Would you think that it was ironic that they were well beaten in the first half but better in the second? I'm not sure. I think my own take on this, and I might be way off, is that is completely overplayed, that break.
Yeah.
When you lose, it's like we only had a shorter break than the Mob were playing. But Geelong were better in the second half than they were in the first.
Yeah.
Their work rate was better. They seemed to have more life about the way they played. Did they make skill errors? Yes. Did that cost them? Yes. But they were more than matching Carlton in the second half, not the first half. So I don't know what you take out of the 6-day break.
B. Davey, 22, really felt for Brad Cloche yesterday. Could count 8 times he was hard running and freeing the lads. Couldn't put the ball near him. A great example of unrewarded gut running. I think for this week, Ollie Henry needs a spell. You've probably discussed this. But 80,000 Pies fans jeering him is not going to be good for his confidence or lack thereof.
No, they're also booing Bailey Smith
for
some unknown reason. Why would they be doing that? What's the tenuous link between Carlton fans booing Bailey Smith?
He's good at football.
Is that because he headbutted Zach Tui when he was not, but he's a former Carlton player, when he headbutted him when he was playing for Geelong? Do you think?
That's a very long
bow. Do you remember that?
I do remember it now, yes.
The Liverpool kiss.
Forgot about that.
At centre-half forward.
Mm.
It seems odd. I don't go for all that.
No.
Have you ever gone to the footy and just booed a player?
It's a waste of energy. For what
we're keeping up, Tomo. Sorry.
It was a big
don't mean to fan you in some regions that might sort of keep you about, up and about. Were you okay there?
No, I'm all right, Benny.
Do you need a peptide or something?
No, I'm fine.
Are you all right?
Yes, we're nearly done, aren't we?
Well, surely we're nearly done because you've just commenced yawning. In the middle of the Kerr's High Cut Attack.
No, not in the middle, at the end.
Well, sorry. Well, I might keep going for a bit. I'm just coming off the long run. Colin Croft style.
Don't you need to go to
the
ball?
Colin used to come off the long run? A few of those West Indians did. Michael Holding, Curtly Ambrose. And then they had, right. And then Malcolm Marshall.
No, he didn't come off a long run.
Andy Roll, but he was lightning quick. Yeah. Do you know the irony of all that was that Colin Croft was their fifth string bowler and he was the fastest. He just had no idea where it was going.
Yeah. Now, finally, Benny, my horse is running Thursday, race 4, our sassy lady.
Right.
Have you ever had a sassy lady, Benny, is the last question.
Is that what it says?
Don't answer that.
Oh.
Ben?
Goodness me. Do you know once, Kingy?
No.
No, I'm telling you once is one story. It'll get through to the keeper, it's fine. Once, I did have a sassy lady, and do you know what? She was a mad cat fan.
Right.
Yeah.
Good.
And She wore a Geelong jumper.
Right. Ben.
Once.
Stay.
And nothing else. Ben. Stay. They're fond memories,
Can
Tom.
You stay safe this week?
Yeah, I will.
Can you promise me that you'll be okay to go
fine.
Saturday?
I'll be fine after the toe injury from Friday night. I'm a bit hampered.
The Cat Attack Podcast. Kerr's Hire, locally owned and operated for over 40 years.